Lowe's knows you want the best for dad. This Father's Day, help him take on any project with big deals on DeWalt. Right now, get a free XR 8 amp hour battery when you buy select DeWalt tools. That's not all. Get up to two free select tools when you buy a select DeWalt 20 volt max battery kit. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a work load is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
Hey.
Is it even possible to build your own home nowadays?
Barely possible, but it can be done. Yeah.
Hey, everybody. I'm Amy.
I'm Matt.
Welcome to Midwest Married. We are talking about a topic that is super special to us today. We're talking about building your own home and the ups and the downs and everything in between.
All right.
Yeah. So I'm going to start off. I'm going to hop right into it with the question.
Okay.
And then maybe we can shed some light on this situation. Deal?
Yeah. Sounds like a plan.
Is it even possible to build your own home nowadays? I want to build my own home. I mean, I want to build it. I don't mean that I want to hire a bunch of people to build it for me.
I don't recommend it.
Has anyone done this in a municipality with typical building permit restrictions? I mean, I'd like to build a shed-sized home, but that's not what I'm talking about here because it's not allowed where I'm at. I'm looking at a 900 square feet at minimum for a single story or 760 square feet main floor otherwise. Just curious to see if anybody has any experience in this area that could comment and either encourage or discourage. Do people actually rent excavators and loaders by the day or week for solo builds? Or do they spend a ton of time and physical effort doing the land work manually? Can you get a concrete pump company to answer your calls as an individual? Is it absurd to think that you can frame a house by yourself with no experience? Is it even possible? There's lots of questions in there.
Yep.
And I feel like we've got some answers.
Yeah. All of that is possible. It's just how long do you want it to take and how complex are you going to make your house? And sounds pretty simple. Like their house that they want to build is similar to our current house.
Yeah. So a small house, I mean, that's a little more doable, probably.
Probably, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And you can probably learn everything on YouTube. And the question that I have, though, is if you learn how... he asked about framing. Can you frame a house yourself? Sure. Do you have the tools?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's going to be a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But you will...
You need a lot of tools to build a house.
You'll save a ton of money by doing it all yourself.
Yeah.
So...
But the time is going to be exponentially longer.
Yeah, and you're learning. You're going to make mistakes. And you're going to have shit happen. You'll have a whole wall framed and it'll fall over in the wind and break.
Do you know something about that?
Yeah. That's just one framing incident. And if you're having a friend over to help, you know, they might get hit in the head with a ladder.
Or they might fall off the second floor, although he doesn't have a second floor, but maybe the roof.
Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah. It's a process, but it certainly is possible.
Yeah. People do rent loaders and excavators for a day or a week, typically, depending on the process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now we need to dive in to like, why do we have any sort of merit to talk on this experience? Why don't you start by telling the story of how we found ourselves in this position, which really started even like, let's see, I don't know, 5 to 8 years ago now, right?
Yeah, probably longer than
that.
Might
as well start the story at the beginning.
Okay. Well, our neighbors at the time, they abandoned their house for about 14 years and they up and left and that was it. You didn't see them, hear from them. They were just gone out of the state for roughly 14 years. Mm-hmm. And being where we're at, you know, we can walk through the woods and you'd see their property very disheveled mm-hmm. and the whole nine yards. And the house that they had was a geometric dome home.
Made out of?
Concrete on the outside and then styrofoam and plaster on the inside. Mm-hmm. And you could look through the windows and you could see that the basement was, you know, 5-6 feet of water filled up. And then you'd go to the upstairs windows and you'd look in and it was the brightest green mm-hmm. you've ever seen mm-hmm. across everything.
Yeah. This was 8 years ago, like after it had been sitting abandoned for probably 10 years at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for a little bit of context. So, of course, we live in the Midwest, right? But we are also just like on a dead end dirt road in the country-ish. You know, there's neighbors here or, you know, around, but like you can't see your neighbors from each house, right? Like, we have 5 acres with our little house. Our neighboring property has 15 acres with it, the one that, you know, had the concrete dome home on it. So, yeah. So then what happened, Matt?
So we wanted to buy a house. We had been looking for a while at this point, and we reached out to the neighbors and said, hey, what are you going to do with this house? And mm-hmm. they said, well, we would sell it to you mm-hmm. for $400,000+, $500,000 roughly. And we informed them politely that the house actually needed to be torn down. And yes. this caught them by surprise.
Yes.
They did not realize the state
Very
that the
much
house was going to be in.
By surprise. So they had been paying the taxes, paying, you know, all the things on it. This entire time that they'd been away, and they mailed us a set of keys and gave us permission to go ahead and go like look at it on the inside.
Yep.
So we did.
And took pictures for them and sent them photos and got on a phone call.
And they were flabbergasted. Just mind blown.
One of the individuals, the wife, was crying like, this was our dream home.
Because it was.
Yeah. So that felt bad. But yeah. also at the same rate, you just can't leave
your
something
property
unattended for that long, even if you left the electricity on and the sump pump. Like mm-hmm. basements fill up here in the Midwest. There's water issues.
Yeah. Your electricity goes out, the sump pump fails. And that's what happened with this house. Like there was like 4 or 5 feet of standing water in the basement, right? When we went inside,
yeah.
we took like a pole and like stuck it down to see how deep it was. And it really had literally turned into a greenhouse on the inside. The plaster was kind of chipping off the walls, the ceiling fans, literally like
Wilted like a flower.
Okay, this is one of those episodes you really should check it out on YouTube because we will post pictures, right? We put some of those pictures up on YouTube.
I will, yeah.
Yeah, because they're really impressive, you guys. There were mushrooms growing out of the wall. In fact, we are... And so we knew from the get-go that we were not going to save this house, right? Like, mm-hmm. if we purchased this property, we were going to take the house down and start fresh. So we took a very artistic photograph of one of the mushrooms that was growing out of the walls. And I said, Matt, if this ever actually works out, if we ever actually get this property, we have to blow this picture up and put it in our new house. Mm-hmm. And you're like, yeah, okay.
Sure.
Because it was kind of a long shot. And when they came back with the price, because they were underwater then on the property for what they had to pay for it, then, and so it was just like, what's the saying? It was a duck out of water, dead duck. I think there's a saying about that.
I have no idea what you're talking about right now. But
I don't know. It couldn't progress. They continued to own the property. They didn't sell it to us after they found everything out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a few years passed and mm-hmm. COVID happened and yep. they had a change of heart due to one of them being hospitalized for an extended period of time. And
I know.
They came mm-hmm. to us and said, hey, we'll sell you the property for the land value. And that was the day that we started.
And my mind was blown. I was so excited. I couldn't believe it was actually happening, that we were actually someday going to get that picture up on a wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's when Dome Home to Dream Home started.
Yes.
And that is why we have merit.
Yes. On
the ability to talk on these things. So we had to rent that excavator and we tore it down ourselves and we cleaned up all the trash and we called dumpster companies and did the whole deal.
Yep.
So
the first summer that we got it, we had to clean up the property because there had been quite a lot of stuff kind of left behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That we had to dispose of. And the house itself was mostly empty, but there was a bunch of stuff in the basement that we had to dispose of. And we did rent that excavator. Luckily for us, it does help, like, if you know a guy, right? I feel like here in the Midwest, mm-hmm. a lot of people, like, I know a guy who knows a guy, or, like, you know, you call in those connections and those favors. So, Matt, you have a very close family friend, Chuck, who actually is a yeah. heavy machine operator.
Yeah.
Right? And so we were telling him about this project, and he volunteered to come on over and help.
Tear it down.
We've got a very impressive video about that, too. It's actually on Midwest Married. It's like one of our very original posts.
Oh, yep.
Yeah. Thought was fun. So yeah, if you scroll all the way to the bottom of our Instagram, you can find a video of that dome home collapsing in. Maybe we'll update that or bring that to the top somehow. I don't know. It's a very satisfying video to watch.
Yep.
Yep.
And then the second summer, we broke ground, which was approximately 1 year ago. We mm-hmm. started late May, beginning of June, doing all the dirt work. Mm-hmm. And
what did that entail? Because we decided, because of all the water issues that we had, that we were not going to have a basement, that we were going to build on a slab. Mm-hmm. We were not going to worry about water issues, because even in our current house, with where the water table is, where we live, it's just so high, there's always, you know, a little bit of water problems.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you were good at the dirt work.
Yeah, we did a lot of dirt work and then we poured our own slab and we had to call the cement guy. And the cement
yes,
guy,
we did.
He answered.
The cement guy answered and he said, yep, well, we can do this. We can provide a crew to help with pouring the cement. I mean, and we did it.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of work, but it was good. Mm-hmm. I would say of this building process, so we are about halfway through, I would say. We have the framing just about done. We have some interior walls that we still need to do, but we have officially a roof on the house, on the entirety of the house, and we have a date for the shinglers, the people who put the shingles on the roof.
Yeah,
I don't know roofers. If you call roofers. I'm like, I don't think you call them shinglers.
What is going on tonight? We're out of sorts.
I know. Anyway, I feel like they'll forgive me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, we've got a date for them to come and put shingles on the roof now, which is a very exciting thing. It's going to be, you know, kind of one of the, I guess, we kind of hired out the concrete a little bit, but we still helped with that pour. Mm-hmm. So we didn't fully give that project over to anybody else. So the roofing is going to be the first thing that we're really like handing the reins over to somebody else and subcontracting.
Yeah.
Because we decided that's just one thing that we don't want to do. We want that part of it to go quickly. Let's mm-hmm. get a roof on.
Yep.
So we can progress further.
Right.
Yeah. You and I, we are not carpenters by trade or in the trades, either of us.
No.
I personally would say that we could not undertake this project without my dad.
I would agree, for the size of house we're building and mm-hmm. the complexities, yeah, there's no way. You need to know somebody in order to get the skills that you really need in order to do it right.
Right. And to know like what the steps are. Right. Yeah. So my dad is a carpenter by trade. And he knows a lot of guys too, and has a bunch of friends who I've grown up with through the years who've been wonderful and have really helped out a lot as well.
But
so
I know people who have self-taught themselves via YouTube on how to do all the things. And I think based on your municipality, what their restrictions are, that might dictate you a little bit. But I think as long as you have your plans and the engineered drawings and you submit those, I think you're good. You shouldn't have any issue getting approved by any means. As long as you own the land and you're not encroaching on somebody else's septic or whatever it may be.
You're following the rules.
As long as you're following the rules, you're good.
Then you're good.
Give it a try.
We pulled our own permits.
Yeah.
And you just call and talk to the inspector when you've got questions.
Yep.
He's come out a few times already and, you know, checked off the boxes and told us, oh, yeah, do this, do this, do this. You know, and he's been really helpful actually too, and being like looking at our plans, being like, okay, when you're planning this, make sure that you include this or et cetera.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's helpful.
You need to add metal straps to these windows or these garage beams.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he's come in handy. So you can use those resources, build relationships, and you know, go to the Builders Association, see who you can find and talk to and go to the trade shows.
Yeah. And learn everything you can. And then also maybe help out a friend with a project or two. Find out if you like it. Because what if you hate it? What if you hate building? What if like measuring isn't your thing? That's really important.
Yeah. Contrary to popular belief, people may think that I hate building. I don't.
Yeah.
It's very satisfying when we accomplish things. The biggest thing I would say, my biggest piece of advice, if you're going to go out and build something, is set your expectations low. Don't set timelines for yourself.
Oh, no timelines.
Because things go wrong. Weather will impact you. And I used to get really frustrated when a project was supposed to take 2 weeks, but it took six. And that was...
That's the biggest lesson that you had to learn.
It was a rough go for us for a while.
Me growing up with a carpenter as a dad was very familiar with the whole like derailed timeline of things. So no matter what you're doing, because yes, any sort of thing can happen to just put the project off. Remodels are even worse because that's just a can of worms. You never know what's behind the walls when you,
when
you start. Yeah.
Well, let's hit them with a Reddit story and then we'll bop back and forth.
All right. Here we go. Am I the asshole for telling my girlfriend that it's my house that I'm building and not hers?
Okay. It's a girlfriend, right?
Girlfriend.
Yeah.
I'm building my very first home. See? So he's doing the thing that you ask, is it possible? So it is possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Living in an area where three-bedroom houses are extremely affordable, including land, $300,000 to $400,000, it is a perfect investment opportunity. My parents have offered some support to help fund my deposit, whereas my new full-time job has allowed me to secure a loan from the bank. Very excited to begin the next stage of adulthood. During the initial planning process, my girlfriend has offered suggestions here and there to improve the house flow, which I have happily thought about and even included in the designs. But today she mentioned that she said to her work colleagues that we are building a house. And the other night she said, I don't like that design choice. I want you to change it because I hate it. It looks like a prison. Just some windows that look like jail bars, even though I really don't see it that way. But the way she said it felt very demanding. I could have been reading it wrong, but the way I felt afterwards just didn't sit right with me. I told her that it is my first house that I want to build and have it constructed my way. I'm putting the deposit in. My parents have helped me as well and have a small stake in it too. They even have gone as far as writing up a contract to say the deposited money belongs to them because it's their investment. This money I will pay back to them when my inheritance comes through. Because I've been in this relationship for 4 years, lived together for 9 months, de facto laws will almost basically apply, and she can technically have a right to some ownings and assets like the house and deposit from my parents. But they wanted a contract signed to prevent that, if we were to ever have decided to break up. I do not believe she has ever had any intent to ever do such a thing, and I trust her fully. I want this to become a home we can share together and potentially build a life in. I know later in life, if we get married, things will become ours and not his and hers, but at this current stage in our relationship, I feel like some things are still our own. This is my first house I'm building. I want it built the way I want it because I'm making the hefty deposit along with my parents to get it built, and she hasn't put any stake into it. Not that I'm wanting her to at this time, just typical portion of rent for the mortgage payments like any landlord would. I'm happy to take on board suggestions, but I just wonder if she's gotten too carried away with this as something she can change because she thinks it's her house too. Even though once it's built, I'm happy to work together to make it our home. We live in like any rental place we would do in the past. So, am I the asshole for telling her that it's my house and not hers at this time? There is an edit that I'm just going to jump into right off the bat because he goes on to say, I think one important aspect I've missed is this. This house really is a stepping stone. It's an investment opportunity for me at this current time frame, thanks to grants from the government in Australia. Later, we can put our earnings together and go for a better dream home, one that we could prepare for as a family. I'm only 25, and we have agreed to aim to have kids after the age of 30. So what do you think? Is he the asshole?
Kinda, but not.
It's
but,
tricky.
He kind of ruined it with some things in there. Like, okay, so let's start here. It's your house. It's your money. It's your parents' money. Like, you're not technically married, right? You preference the title with girlfriend. So at that point, you're not the asshole. But then you're like, well, we've been together long enough at this point where she could claim
kind of common law
mm-hmm. marriage. So
4 years.
Oh, 4 years?
Yeah, 4 years.
In Australia, that's all right. I think in where we were at, yeah, it's like seven or something.
That's what
like
I've
that.
Heard.
But
if those are really real and really, yeah. I don't know if they apply. We're not lawyers. I don't know.
So you also are planning on, based on what you said, you've already discussed having kids and having a life together and moving in together. And
they already live together 9 months.
Right. In the new house to,
oh,
live,
yes.
to live together.
Live together in the new house. Right? Yes.
So if you are planning truly to spend your life with this person, mm-hmm. I guess I would take their suggestions into play, but I guess you're right. You don't have to accept everything.
Right.
So if you're not breaking up with her, she's not breaking up with you, you're just putting your foot down like, hey, I'm going to make this choice. You're not the asshole. But you may want to think about the long-term implications of you saying no, because that might be a rocky road for you, sir. And
it might
I'm
be
looking out for you because, you know, the
it might be
is,
you're both going to be living there.
Happy wife, happy life.
Yes. There yeah. you go. Yes. So. I do wonder exactly like what she's suggesting, because is she suggesting, this is the first house that he's going to build, is she suggesting things that make the building process more tricky, more complicated, more complex? Is the roof going to be steeper and more difficult to work on because you added a bonus room above the garage?
She just didn't want the grills on the window. She didn't want it to look like a prison.
I mean, that you really should take her advice on that one. It's probably cheaper if it doesn't have grills either.
That is true.
That is true. Yep. You add grills to the windows and it's more expensive.
But
that's why you can put them on the front and then skip them in the back if you feel like it.
Yeah.
Like we are doing.
Yep. Yeah. So, yeah.
So not that, the asshole.
Yeah, not the asshole. Maybe a little short-sighted.
Ah, short-sighted. That's probably a good phrase to use in this situation, short-sighted.
Yeah. And you never know what the housing market is going to do. I don't know when this was posted, but for instance, a lot of people during COVID, you now have the golden handcuffs because you may be refinanced and you are locked in at a 2.1 to 2.3% mortgage rate. And that's insane. To get rid of that and dump it, to go and buy or build something else at a 5%, 6%, maybe even 7, 8% interest rate, you're throwing hundreds of thousands of dollars away. I think the math on it was something like you'll pay $289,000 if you had a mortgage of $500,000.
Right.
And you have a 2-ish% mortgage rate,
mm-hmm.
you'll spend $289,000 in interest.
Right.
Versus, I think it was 5 to 6% interest rate. You spend almost $700,000 in interest.
It's a big difference over time. That's huge. Yeah.
Insanity.
So you never know what's going to happen, right? Like you could buy your grandmother's house after she passes as your first home, and it might be 850 square feet and super cute, but also super tiny. And you think it's a good starter home. And then 12 years later, you might still be in it.
Yeah. It could, because the market totally changed on us, right? We were looking at houses that were at the time probably 2015, 16, like for a bigger house, saying, well, $400,000, like, whew, that is a lot of money.
How could we ever do that? And that, I think interest rates were really low back then.
And those were the houses that $400,000 to $500,000, they didn't need updates. We were looking at $200,000, $300,000 houses, like, oh, yeah, this is, you could tell it was from the 80s.
Right.
You needed to do things. Yeah. Well, then we couldn't find the right house, so we just stuck it out, and we're like, oh, we'll find one. Then the market exploded. And that was pre-COVID that it exploded, and then it's only gotten worse. So the house that we looked at for $400,000 at the time sold 2 years later for $650,000, and I think now it's roughly around $800,000. It's doubled in 10 years.
And the crazy thing about that house was it had foreclosed and gone to the bank, and the bank sold it 2 years later for like $600,000 or something like that. And it had in-floor heating, but because it was foreclosed and sat empty and vacant, the in-floor heating like broke, basically. And so like, even with that big difference, it still increased in value. And then in our market, like you had to be first person to put in like your strongest offer and just hope and pray that your offer was chosen, or else that you were just not getting the house. It was super frustrating for a lot of people.
It's good that he knows how to build his own house. That's going to save a ton of money. But to go out and buy another house, you just never know if you're going to be able to do it.
Right. So overall vote on this one, no assholes here. So top comment, not the asshole, but I don't know how you're going to come back from this in terms of making her feel like you're committed after saying something like that. You should have discussed her level of involvement and a timeline for your relationship all the way along, so you were on the same page and she understood and could support you building this house for yourself. Honestly, if I was 4 years into a relationship and my partner was building a house without the thought that it wouldn't be our house in the very near future, I would see that as an indication that they are not serious about our future.
Yeah. Again, a little short-sighted. Didn't right. maybe think of that.
Right. Absolutely. Another comment. I mean, this is one of those legally in the right things. Yes, it's legally his house, but he has a partner of 4 years who is going to move into it for presumably the foreseeable future. It's kind of shitty to disregard her opinions on it. OP says in the edit that it's a stepping stone house. It's fair enough to make decisions that will increase the value of the house down the road, but treating this as a "it's my money, so fuck you, I do what I want" is not going to lead to a happy relationship in the long run.
Yeah.
True. It's kind of more about, think about the relationship in addition to the house that you're building.
Mm-hmm.
Try to, you know, come to a compromise.
Yeah.
Find something that makes both of you happy.
Best of luck, sir.
Moving on. More of a question rather than a story.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Things you have learned building. Hey, y'all, we're looking at building, finally, hopefully within the next couple of years. We've already got some land and we'll find out the best spot this summer for a septic tank. My question is more so from the perspective of the homeowner, as I'm very familiar with the actual building part. I've worked the better part of my life in construction. What are things throughout the process of building your home that you learned, good and bad? Note, we are in the phase of very early planning. Just found a floor plan online that we love, and we will be contacting the company that designed it to make customized adjustments. If you have any insight into that experience, it would be appreciated too. All right. So you kind of mentioned some things that we've learned, the timeline thing. It always takes longer than anticipated, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Anything else, good or bad, that you've learned that this person could benefit from?
Yeah, I think you should make sure when you pull the trigger and you start building, mm-hmm. you should ensure that you love the plans. You have to mm-hmm. love the plans, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think working with a company or a architect designer,
mm-hmm.
that can take your feedback and what you want and apply it to the drawing and go through it with you and talk about the functionality of things is going to be huge, right? I just really like our house. And yes, we have made a couple of different changes, but overall, I think our house has been a success.
Right. So that's one thing that we didn't skimp on. So I'm somebody who loves a deal, right? Like, throughout the home building process, I am the person who has taken every receipt from Menards and Home Depot mm-hmm. and have put it into an Excel spreadsheet and know exactly how much everything costs and like how much we've spent thus far on the house, on the building process, which I think is really fun and interesting and also just a good thing to do, right? I also have a column on that Excel spreadsheet for savings column to make the total price that we have spent feel a little bit better, right? So like we got our windows, we stacked a sale upon a sale because we waited for the perfect timing or whatever to mm-hmm. purchase our windows.
Yep.
And so that savings goes in that column. You know, when we're using our credit cards and you know, you get the choice of what rewards gift card you get $5 for every $100 or whatever. That gift card goes in that
yeah,
column.
Yeah, we save $5.
$5. Woohoo.
It all adds up.
It all adds up. The Menards rebates, etc., right? So I love a good deal. We've tried to buy things on sale when we can.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But the plans to the house was definitely not something that we skimped on. We talked to friends and neighbors and people around town asking, you know, who's the best architect or, you know, who would you recommend as an architect when, you know, we have things that we know we want in our house. We kind of know a general idea, but we really want to make sure we get the plans right. And yeah. we heard one name around town consistently. And so that's who we went with. She was definitely not the cheapest architect.
No, I mean, nope. she was a little bit more money than most.
Yep. But this is like what she does. She designs homes. And so she knows, right? Like how much space you need for this room and that room and how to make that flow work better so that you utilize all of the space in the house without having areas of wasted space, right?
Yeah.
And she was very, very friendly, very professional. Yep. But I would also say that she would like tell it like it is, right?
Yeah, we had a few challenges, I would say, her and I. We very much tried to explain, we are building the house.
Which and I understand for her is hard because when we have a budget number in mind and she's trying to like design a house for a budget, if you're doing it yourself, that's really hard to design for that budget.
She only knows what a contractor built house costs per square foot.
Right.
So.
Yeah. But once we told her, hey, just design the house to what we want. Don't worry about the budget. We're going to worry about the budget. Then she was fine.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. We went smooth sailing from that point forward. Yeah.
Communication. That's all it takes. And we have been really, really happy with the plans. But also we sat with those plans for a year. We did that really, really early in the process. When we were cleaning up the property, when we were tearing down the dome home.
Yep.
That was when we went and had our plans drawn up and we shared them with a whole bunch of people.
Yeah.
We were like,
we brought it to other people that have built houses. Uh-huh. We've brought it over to our friend's house. We're having dinner. Like, oh, do you guys want to see the plans? Like, and we went through it and like, what do you guys think? And we openly said, feel free to tell us what you don't like and what you would change.
Mm-hmm.
And based on that process, I think we made quite a few changes.
Right. Yeah. Because people have good ideas and people have different life experiences where like maybe you haven't had your house, I don't know, configured in a specific way that makes it better or worse for certain things. Right. So I would say really make sure you love your plans. I think that's really great advice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you want to hear what the internet said, what Reddit said?
Sure.
Just here's some...
What do the people say?
Here's some general advice from a few people. Bedrooms should be a few feet larger. Just period. Whatever the bedroom is, just make it like a couple feet larger. I feel like that was your theory on most rooms when we were planning this.
The rooms.
And I was like,
if you can't throw a baseball in each room, is it really a room?
The rooms aren't that big. But our rec room, I was like, it can be smaller. And it kept, nope, it's going to be good.
Nope.
I think it's the right size.
I wasn't going to sacrifice on that.
Yes. I think.
No, I knew what I want. In that rec room, I know.
You've got that layout planned.
Yep.
All right. Another piece of advice, it's going to cost more than you think.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Always.
Just always does. Whether you are building it yourself or whether you have a contractor. Contractor tells you a number, it's probably going to...
20%
probably
is the rule
of
thumb.
Yeah.
Right? Whatever you decide to budget, just expect to be 20% over.
Mm-hmm. In reply to that piece of advice, it will also take longer. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a saying that I love. Okay. You can only have two of three things. Okay. If you're doing a project, any kind of project, it can either be cheap, be fast, or be high quality. You can only get two. Okay. Because if you do something cheap and fast, it's not going to be high quality. If you want something cheap and high quality, it's not going to be fast.
Mm-hmm.
If you want something, what's the other possibility? Oh, if you want it to be fast and high quality, it's not going to be cheap. That's the other one, right? Like it just totally goes.
Yeah.
So
what else did they say? Any other quick tips before we hit the next Reddit story?
Here's one. Detail every single outlet, switch, or switch connections that control a lights, fan, etc. My experience is that electricians don't ask questions. Instead, they assume. But I think that that's a good piece of advice to really make sure that you are planning out where, how many, and where do you want all those electrical outlets, the light switches, because you might regret it if you don't think about it. It's like all those little things you got to think, okay, am I going to want an outlet in my walk-in closet for any reason?
Yes.
Yes. The answer is yes. You probably do. Okay.
All right. Reddit story.
Should we move on?
Let's do it.
Okay. Dealing with overwhelming regret after a new home build. That doesn't feel good. I hope we're not there. I hope we're not ready. We won't be. We love our house. Okay.
It's going to be great.
My wife and I built a completely custom house and moved in last year. It is a 3-bedroom center entry colonial, 2,300 square feet, that we pretty much drew ourselves, took to a professional drafter, and had it built. We've been here for a year. My wife loves it, our family loves it, and most people we show it to or talk about how, and most people we show it to talk about how nice it is to see a more traditional new home build. But I just have an unshakable regret over so many of the decisions that we made. For example, I'm pretty upset that I didn't stick to my guns and build a ranch. I strongly preferred a single story, but got sucked in by how much cheaper the price per square foot was for two stories as opposed to a ranch.
Yep.
We probably could have built an 1,800 square foot ranch for the same price. Number two. I hate the 9-foot ceilings. It threw all the proportions off inside and out. For example, there's 2 feet of drywall above the windows. There is a huge void between the upstairs and downstairs windows from the outside, etc.
Never have I ever heard anybody hating taller ceilings.
I know. I feel like this is a window problem and not actually like a ceiling problem.
Like they didn't go big enough with their windows.
Right.
Because think about it. If you're working out and you lift weights, the dumbbells will hit the ceiling in a regular foot size house.
There you go.
I'm just saying. Go ahead.
Okay. Another thing. I wish we picked different kitchen cabinets and a backsplash. And he goes on. The garage is way too small and barely functions as a 2-car garage. I park in the driveway 80% of the time. We should have done a small 4th bedroom so I had a home office. I could go on forever. It just feels like I spent so much time and energy doing this, and the final product just feels underwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
It pains me to type this, but to get to the heart of the matter, I just feel like I compromised way too much. I love my wife a ton and wanted to give her the house she wanted, and she absolutely loves the space, but it just feels so meh to me.
Meh.
There's so much I want to change that I sometimes fantasize about just listing it and trying to build another house or move into something smaller.
Well, yeah, no shit.
This is event of sorts.
It's good news.
This is event of sorts, I guess. But I can't be the only one who's built a house and regretted 100 things. How did you handle it? What do you think? Where did he go wrong for the...
Well, that's my first question. Well, he listened to none of our advice from the past story. Like, he never got that advice. They didn't talk this through well enough.
They didn't sit and stew on it.
Yeah. So the good news is, and unfortunately your wife likes a space, and there's the whole having a partner thing that you have to like figure out. But okay, so it was more expensive. Now that you're here today and you look at it, would you be like, I would have, in hindsight, spent that extra money to keep it one level. We didn't. We went 2 stories because of that reason. It was cheaper to go up than to expand the house.
Well, our footprint is already pretty large as far as... Yes, right? But we also made it so that it would be one floor livable, right?
We did.
So that there's a bedroom on the main floor, everything will be handicap accessible, et cetera, because we are only building once. This is it, right? Like, this is the dream home. We went from dome home to dream home, and I hope to God this is where I die someday, in like when I'm, 80 or 90.
Or somewhere tropical, but whatever.
Whatever. So we... we really wanted to make sure that we got those plans right.
So
right?
They didn't, but here's the deal. Compromise with your wife and say, hey, I hate this house and the market's up. It's hard because if we sell, what can we go out and buy? But explain all the things you dislike and would like and go out and build another home.
Do it again.
Do it again, but do it right this time.
Right.
And a two-story house takes longer to build than a one-story house, for sure. So you're going to save time there. Do it. Sell the house, build another one, figure it out. Stop complaining. Go make your dreams happen.
There you go.
Get the fourth bedroom. Make the garage bigger. Make it three stalls and deep so you can have a workbench back there, whatever you want.
And so they used a contractor to build their home.
Oh.
Right? That's the impression that I got anyway. And so there are pros and cons to both doing, a contractor build and a build that you're doing.
Yeah.
Again, like if you do a contractor build, it's more expensive and it's way faster, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're going to actually be in the house, but sometimes I think can actually be a little bit of a disadvantage, and slower can be a little bit more of an advantage. For example, if you are, you give the plans to your builder and if you change your mind on something, then either sometimes it's too late to make that change, or it's going to be way more expensive, mm-hmm. or it's just impossible to make that change because things happen so fast and you have to make so many decisions so fast, right? You have to pick everything out all at the same time and you don't really have time sometimes to sit and stew and think about it. Whereas right. if it takes you 5 million years to build your house, right?
We went into it knowing going to be, once we broke ground, we said it's a 2-year
process.
Yes. So fall 2026, we'll be in.
Right. So a little bit of an advantage to that process is that we have time to kind of be like, ooh, you know those windows that we have in the great room that is like open two stories? Those windows are just too short. We could make them bigger and we'd really love them a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
That was a thing that we did. We decided that the windows were too small. And so we went back to Home Depot, actually. And we just ordered new, bigger windows.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was a $2,000 mistake.
It wasn't really a mistake. It was just like we changed our mind. And now we have the other windows. And we're going to build a sauna with them someday. It's going to be great.
And that's like 4 years out. And that'll be like a 1-year process, probably.
No, it won't take that long. It won't take that long. It's going to be fabulous, you guys. So pluses and minuses, right? Well,
yeah.
Let's go back to
the
story. Here we go. Top comment. This is why you hire an architect or designer or just copy another house. 9-foot ceilings make the house feel spacious. Your house just needed taller windows.
Yes.
I did not read these comments, you guys. We got it. That was the top comment.
We did it.
I was like, I feel like that's a window problem. Got it. Taller windows and doors, probably larger crown and base. Solutions now might be adding taller curtains or hanging a chair rail, short crown molding about 12 to 18 inches from the ceiling and painting that area to match the ceiling, or an accent mm-hmm. color. Okay, so that person's offering some things to make them like it more.
Yeah. There we go. Perfect.
Next comment. Again, the ceilings. Everybody's on it about the ceilings. I have 10-foot ceilings, and the windows have 12-inch transom windows above them, and then 15 inches of crown height. It all came together just right and feels so spacious. Dude just needs taller windows, taller cabinets, and heavier crown moldings. OP does reply, we don't have crown moldings, so that might be the answer. So, all right, well, maybe there's some things to make some of your things a little bit better, right?
Yeah.
It seems like the people are repetitively saying you messed up by not getting an architect involved in the plans.
Yep.
Most of the time, the project will cost the same in the end, still ends up being custom and to your specifications, but a professional that does this for a living is on your team to keep you from making mistakes. All right. Are you ready for some drama?
Always. Let's do it.
All right. Because, yeah, when you're building, sometimes drama happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you invite your buddy over to come and help you frame up a house, and then you accidentally hit him in the head with a ladder. Whoops.
Your dad accidentally hits him in the head with a ladder.
Ah, yes. It wasn't you.
So, for the record. Yeah. But
sorry.
Yes.
Nate. Right? Sorry, yeah. Nate. Oof. So, here's the drama. Am I the asshole for building my niece a new bedroom?
Neat.
My 37 female brother, Kelvin, 34 male, is married to his wife, Katie, 33 female. And they have two children, ages 6 months and 3 years. They live in a small two-bedroom, two-bath home. I was chatting with Katie this past week, and she was telling me how she was at her wit's end because the six-month-old is having a lot of trouble sleeping. Baby's crib is in the parents' room, and she is waking up at every little noise. They don't want to have the baby share a room with the toddler because they don't want her waking their toddler up at night. They feel stuck. I have two children, ages 5 and 7, and also live in a small two-bedroom but one-bath home. Katie asked me for advice and how we got through those early sleep-deprived years. I replied, I wouldn't recommend it, but my husband and I were desperate. So we gave our room to the baby for 6 months, and we slept on our mattress in the living room. It was better than sharing a room. However, you have an ensuite bathroom that has a really interesting layout. We could totally remodel it so that half of it is turned into a mini nursery and the other is into a more functional bathroom. She turned to me with excitement and said, really? Do you think we could do that? My reply, absolutely. A little background. My husband is a carpenter by trade, and I've worked with him on many projects in the past, including a full remodel of my mother-in-law's bathroom, my own kitchen and bathroom remodel, and our current project, which is building an actual house. We are not just DIYers. We have a proven track record of starting and completing all projects. My husband and I then went to her house and spent the evening planning out the project with Katie and Kelvin. Katie told us what she wanted: to enclose the nursery by closing off a doorway, remove a sink from the space, remove the wall paneling and a large mirror, replace the flooring, remove a wall, extend the room 2 feet and install a new wall with a smaller door, install all new sheetrock, move a light switch, and paint the room pink. Updating the bathroom would include creating a new doorway, removing an old jacuzzi tub, installing a new sink vanity, replacing the flooring, installing matching paneling to the enclosed doorway, and putting in a storage cabinet. We offered options that were less involved and quicker. For example, not moving the wall, working with the existing paneling, etc. But they opted to choose all of the above.
Hmm.
She excitedly agreed to the plan and enthusiastically asked if we could go shopping for the remodel the next day. We agreed and told her we would get started with the work the following day, as my husband and I were both free. As a side note, my brother works 50 hours a week, so while he could help with the project after work here and there, he wasn't able to take the lead on it. Also, he didn't want to make Katie the only caregiver for the kids in the evenings, which is why my husband and I volunteered to do it for them. We started the project as scheduled and everything was going well. There were normal remodeling hiccups. A mirror ended up being glued to the wall. Sheetrock was glued as well as screwed to the studs, etc. But overall, we were feeling good about our progress. We were giving updates via Snapchat all day to Katie and Kelvin, and then had to make a Lowe's trip for a couple supplies. While out, Katie and Kelvin both came home from work around 4:30. They checked in the room And then Katie started yelling at Kelvin, complaining that the room wasn't done, that the baby had to sleep in 3 hours and had nowhere to sleep, and that it was all his fault.
It's like Fairy was going to come by and just...
Bloop. Do you see that list of things that they wanted done? Like, this is day one, right?
Yep. There's some work to be had.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So she also said she hadn't even wanted us to start working on it that day and started crying. She said she was going to go pick up the kids from my mother's house, who watches them full time, and going to sleep the night at her mother's house and not come home. She stormed out, leaving Calvin totally dumbfounded. After returning from Lowe's and hearing this, I tried to call Katie to see if I could explain that even if the whole project was not completed today, we would still clean up our construction mess by the baby's bedtime, and she could still sleep in her own room tonight. She didn't answer her phone. I then called my mom to just give her a heads up, and turns out Katie was there picking up the kids. My mom put me on speakerphone, completely unaware of the situation. I apologize for perhaps not communicating the timeline well enough and tried to find out what had made her so upset. But she didn't say a single thing. And when I asked her if she had any questions, she just grabbed her kids and left without saying a single word. Now I feel terrible. She's threatening to separate from my brother, saying he doesn't listen to her. And I feel she's misdirecting her anger at me towards him. I just wanted to do a nice thing for them, knowing the desperation of sleep-deprived new parents, and it has turned into a disaster. My brother has been appreciative, but is stressed to the max with this reaction from Katie. We will, of course, finish the project for them because we can't just leave it undone, and they aren't asking us to stop. However, I'm feeling a little less giving with this development and would like to be out of there as soon as possible. So, am I the asshole for suggesting this remodel in the first place and then going ahead with it?
Oof. I'm going to say not the asshole.
There is also an edit, or not an edit, but just like an FYI. Mm. In the one day, we completed the full demo of the room, closed off the doorway, removed the sink and buried the plumbing in the walls, removed and installed new flooring, removed the paneling and installed sheetrock on half of the walls, and removed the one wall to extend the room. They did clean up all the construction mess prior to leaving. Informed her that they would be back in 2 days to continue to work. OP also works a day job, so can't be there every day, which she knows. The sister-in-law knows.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that's all right. That's the full story. What do you think?
You know, not the asshole, right? Maybe there should have been a conversation like, hey, when do you want to start the project? But it seemed like... Katie?
Yeah,
Katie was very gung-ho about getting it started and bought all the materials. So
she was really, she was the one who said she asked to go shopping the next day.
So really, like, when would be a good time? Because if it wasn't discussed and you bought all the materials and you asked, can we do this? Then it seems like, all right, we're moving forward and it's going. Yeah. So no, you're not the asshole. There's some things here that seem a little off to me.
Okay, like what?
For Katie to threaten Kelvin with divorce seems a bit extreme over this situation.
Yeah.
So it tells me that there's definitely other things going on in the relationship. However, possibly, maybe very manipulative of Katie in this situation. So I don't know. Katie seems like she's got some other issues at hand, whether it be she's so fucking tired and she just can't think straight. It seems manipulative to me though, like to rub that back in your husband's face.
Right.
Well, like, maybe we should separate because you don't listen to me. And like, here he is trying to do a nice thing for her, technically, or for them, right? Like, it just doesn't seem like all the pieces are adding up for me here.
It doesn't add up for me either. Like, why? Like, you ask that, or you're so excited about having a solution to your baby not sleeping. You ask to go shopping. Yeah, I would feel like that would be the green light to your sister-in-law being like, yep, go for it. And to have like an actual carpenter come into your house and remodel your bathroom
for
like
free. do you know
how much for that free. Would cost? I'm assuming that they're not charging
thousands
her,
of dollars,
right? Like, maybe they're paying just for the materials or whatever, but for the time, do you know how much? I mean, we know how much to hire a carpenter. It is not cheap, you guys.
No, it's expensive.
It's expensive. So I'm still trying to figure out what exactly she was mad at. Like, she's mad that this whole remodel wasn't finished by 4:30 on day one. Like, is that why she's upset?
Yeah, maybe she didn't have clear expectations of what the timeline was going to be. Maybe she legitimately thought like this was, oh, this is just such an easy project.
I don't know. I read the list of all the things that needed to be done. That doesn't sound like an easy project to me.
Right.
I mean, doable, sure, but seems like kind of an involved project. Yeah.
I also think Katie here is really, you know, in the wrong at some point, depending on if she ever followed up based on the conversation that OP had with her mother and Katie just kind of like ghosted OP.
What do you mean?
Like, she didn't say anything, right?
She didn't say a single thing. She grabbed her kids and left.
Right. So OP is here trying to explain. I just think it's super rude and disrespectful to, even if you're not able to have that conversation, like if Katie never came back and was like, hey, sorry, I was just really upset. I'm really frustrated. I have a lot of things going on. Some explanation as to why she's being such a biatch.
Mm.
Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
So I think that OP, you're not the asshole. Maybe you should probably not put yourself out there so much to be so helpful. Does Katie have a hard time like expressing her feelings? Is it something?
The sleep deprivation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there is an update.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. So that night, she texted my brother and announced that she was on her way home. We were still working on the room. And so we all shared a mutually panicked look at each other and started a mad dash of cleanup. Mind you, we did a really great job. The room looked cleaner after we left than it did when we got there. The next day, I was expecting some sort of perhaps apology or some sort of explanation for why my sister-in-law just took off without saying anything, but received no such thing. In fact, she has completely ignored the situation and is acting like it never, ever happened.
Mm.
She also took a snap and sent it to the family Snapchat of the room and the progress that we had made, saying, "This room is so baby approved. Take a look." It's so bizarre, and I'm so mad that there is no acknowledgement of this bizarre situation.
Yeah. Maybe Katie just has a hard time, or maybe she's embarrassed, right? Have we thought of that? I mean, still a bitch, but come on. Not even a thank you?
Not even a thank you.
Like, hey guys, this is really great. Thanks for everything that you did. Sorry I was being crazy earlier.
Nothing.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a bizarre situation. I feel like there has to be more to it, but I'm not quite sure what it is. So
yeah, and it's also it's not really OP's place
to insert herself like into her brother's relationship with his wife, right? Like, ugh, you kind of got in the middle And now, yeah, you're in a sticky spot.
Yeah, and OP didn't know that she was inserting herself into said relationship problems other than she was trying to fix the sleep deprivation. That was it.
Right.
You know, OP didn't know there are other potential relationship issues going on. So it's a it's a tough spot to
be
for OP.
Which it seems like there may be.
And yeah, that sucks.
I also realized that they said that their current project, which is that they are building their own house, like we are building our own house, right? Like we know that that takes like every single little scrap of time and energy, and they have young kids. I mean, it's hard to do that when you are bringing your kids to sports or school events or et cetera, you know, to find time just to do all of that than to add like another project onto your plate.
And work a 9-to-5.
And work a 9-to-5. To the comments.
To the comments.
This is a little bit of an obscure story here. It was very new, only listed 3 days ago, and only has two comments. First comment, it sounds like there's something else going on. I don't think she's just reacting to construction. If she is, then there might be some mental health concerns.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And the other comment, she is a prick. People will blame her mental health, but she's just a prick. I would say to her, F you, do it yourself. Tell your brother to take the kids and leave her right. And leave her. Sounds like a right.
Yikes.
Yikes. I don't know that that's the most like, you know, right? Like.
Yeah, they'll work it out. They got young kids. It's hard.
You know, maybe they're just sleep deprived.
Maybe. But yeah. It seems kind of like there's some maybe narcissistic tendencies there.
Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. All right. Well, that's a drama. Right.
Well, for anybody that's made it this far, Amy has started an Instagram handle called Dome Home to Dream Home.
I have, but I haven't actually posted anything yet because you're going to teach me how to do fancy things. Because we've taken a lot of pictures, a lot of videos of our progress along the way.
So should we do that? Should we let people know?
Sure.
All right. So for anybody that's listening, I'm going to teach Amy how to do all the fancy things on the computer.
Yeah.
And, you'll start seeing the process from day one to where we're at and probably get caught up prior to completion day of said dream home.
Yeah. Follow along with us. And I'm somebody who has a really hard time making decisions. Like, what do I like more? Option A or option B? I like them both. I don't know. Pros, cons, right? The long timeline works out in my favor.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you guys can help me. Tell me which one's going to work better, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we got that going. And hey, thank you for listening. We appreciate you. Please like, follow, and subscribe, especially on YouTube.
Woo.
And have a great night, everyone.
Have a great night.